Sometimes you just have to step in, you know. I can still do it, though. That's good. That's good. I think in Lent, part of our penance is having to read entire books of the gospel, you know, as it goes on and on. So I'm about to do something every seminary homiletics professor would tell you never to do. It won't be the first time I've strayed from conventional wisdom and teaching, and probably won't be the last, but I'm going to do it anyway. That preaching no-no is to try to incorporate all three readings into a sermon. I rarely do it, but today I'm compelled. In a way, I should not even tell you this, because most people, upon hearing that attempt by the preacher, would run for cover. You know, fake an important phone call, feign some kind of sudden intestinal distress, doing anything to get out of here, realizing this could go on a while. But I hope you'll hang in there. This should be shorter and far less painful than that might sound. My favorite metaphor to talk about how we see Scripture is a window or a mirror. I think most often we use it as a window, peering through it to see what happened back then. When we do that, it's more history than it is present. I think we do far less, and yet could do far more, of using Scripture as a mirror, looking into it and letting it reflect back how the narrative and story from long ago is about us and reflects us today. Neither one is right or wrong. We should use both. I'm just making it clear that it is that latter approach that I'm taking today, the mirror, letting the Scripture reflect back to us how these stories relate to our lives today. All of these readings point to one thing: transformation, change, death of an old thing, and the birth of a new one. Ezekiel's famous and fun reading about the Valley of the Dry Bones, thank you for getting that in there, is a story of God bringing life out of certain and sure death. This reading shows up at two other times in our Christian year: Pentecost, where the focus is on the breath, the wind, the Spirit of God blowing through the story, and on the Easter Vigil, where the focus is on resurrection and rising. It also often appears around Halloween by choice, simply because it has that scary skeleton thing going on for it. And it appears today alongside the gospel of the raising of Lazarus, and the focus is bringing life out of sure and certain death. Indeed, the story of Lazarus is also about bringing life out of sure and certain death. A little sidebar here. It's just an interesting little fact. This reading from John is exactly the center of the Gospel of John, just as many verses and chapters before and just as many after. It's the literal center, the midpoint, the rhetorical and theological center of the story. A lot of scholars do not find that to be a coincidence. And then, in the center of this reading today, the center of the center, you might say, if you will, is the profession of Martha, who says to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Right in the middle. Martha and this profession is the very fulcrum point, the turning point, not only of this passage for today, but for the entire Gospel of John, and in John's eyes, in the entire story and narrative of the life of Jesus. So today we get to read and see the complete turn for the disciples and for Jesus as they begin the walk to Jerusalem and to Jesus' death and resurrection. Martha's profession of Jesus as Lord is the change, the transformation, the turn in this bigger story. So as always, when we read the gospel, the scripture, we have a choice to read it for a literal relaying of history, like I said, the window, or as a story meant to make a point to us, a point that's timeless and universal and for all time, the mirror. Indeed, I believe much of scripture is both at the same time, but as I said today, I want to focus on the mirror, the overarching point of these stories brought together today, the dry bones, the raising of Lazarus, and Paul's letter to the Romans. In Ezekiel, it's a nation, a people, being brought back to life, being redeemed, changed, transformed, and sent. In the gospel, it's about an individual, Lazarus. But lest we try to look at this only as through a window, what about today? What do those things say to us? Well, let me start with geography. The gospel story takes place mostly in the little village of Bethany, The gospel itself says that Bethany is only 2 short miles from the heart of Jerusalem. And that is absolutely true. I've been to both places. Maybe some of you have too. In fact, I was in Bethany about 2 months ago. It today is hardly a village, but it's still just 2 miles from the heart of Jerusalem. And yet, unlike most situations of distance and time in the gospel, when we read them up against today, this one is the opposite. And what I mean by that is today, even though Bethany is still just 2 miles from the heart of Jerusalem, it takes far longer to drive between the two, longer today to drive it than it would have been for Jesus to walk it in those days. Because today, the separation wall, the giant wall erected in the name of security that runs through the Holy Land, runs right through Bethany. Before the building of that wall, you could walk up the street from Bethany to the Mount of Olives in a matter of minutes. Today, you have to drive around the wall, a journey of miles, through a checkpoint, which has the possibility of adding an inordinate amount of time, and then finally into Jerusalem. Now, I know some of you are squirming, thinking he's about to get political. Well, actually, we can't help it. We are political beings. That is our life, whether we like it or not. But truthfully, I'm not. I'm just stating the fact. Go there and you will see. And I bring it up just to say, even today at this very hour, we have a valley of dry bones all across the earth. Today at this very hour, we have Lazarus in a tomb, dead to the world. Lazarus is dead to us metaphorically in so many ways. The unfounded fears we have that seem so real, but have no reason to back it up. The separation we have from others that makes no sense and defies reason. The realities of a world we cannot often understand and yet have to navigate every day. I'm saying every day you and I get to witness in our lives and in this world we inhabit what seems like sure and certain death. That part of the story was not left behind in ancient Palestine. That part of the story is not only a historical relic that we only read about now, it is all real today. If we can't see that and can't live into that, then these readings become not much more than mere history. Which brings me to Paul's letter to the Romans. This letter would be actually the first Christian witness we read today. It's the earliest writing, if you will, of the gospel. What is great about the undisputed letters of Paul, of which Romans is surely one, is that in them we see how Christians were trying to live in the generation right after Jesus walked this earth. In Romans, in a sense, we're given the practical way to see these readings for today, to not just let them be story, but to let them be a roadmap of how to live into them. In the letter to the Romans today, Paul exposes the incongruity of sin in the life of the believer, and then develops a series of contrasts to explain the radical new life in Christ. It's characterized by the movement from one state of being to another, from death to life, from one master to another, sin to God, from one principle to another, law to grace, and one kind of activity to another, wickedness to righteousness. The point being, the call for us today is that we believers become like Christ. We are to be transformed into Christ's image by dying ourselves and rising again. We are the dry bones. We are Lazarus. We all know that it is often in life, while we still live and breathe, that we know death most intimately. The dying and rising to new life is not a one-time thing in the life of Jesus or in our lives, not in our lives as an individual or in our lives as a community of followers of Christ. It's an everyday thing. It is a call on us right now, this day, this very moment, to find those things that have died in us or should die in us, that take us away from Christ, and to breathe life back into those dead things so that in Christ they might live again, new and fresh. Now you see, I'm done. We made it. It wasn't that bad. I haven't tried to take all three readings up in a sermon in a long, long time and probably won't again anytime soon, but it looks like we survived. Thanks for hanging in there. My sisters and brothers, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.